church family. Welcome to Church News. I'm Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Summer small groups are here, and we could not be more excited for these 7 weeks of small groups that are coming up. Groups officially kick off this Wednesday, so there's still time to sign up. As a reminder, we are not a church that just has small groups, but we are a church of small groups. And we believe this is one of the places that God has specifically designed for you and I to find freedom and build meaningful relationships. If you'd like to see the available groups, you can head out to the Welcome Center or you can use the Church Center app. We cannot wait to see you there.
And then we have Growth Track. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe Church. It helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them to serve here in the church. And it gives you the perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. If you would like to sign up for Growth Track, that happens every first Sunday of each month right after church service, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get you signed up there. And we would like to note that there will be childcare and lunch provided for Growth Track.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is why we have a small group called Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group that is specifically designed for married couples looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. Marriage Is Us meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the lobby. And if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer. And that is why we do First Saturday prayer at the beginning of each month. This 1 hour prayer service is a time where we gather together to seek God, to worship, to hear an encouraging word, and to have personal and corporate prayer. First Saturday prayer is the opportunity for us to come together and pray for all that the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming month. We would love to see you there each month for First Saturday prayer.
Oh, hey everyone, Pastor Jared here. I'm just checking out our new scuba sub for our Vacation Bible School coming up just around the corner. I mean, school is almost out, summer is right around the corner. We're excited to spend 5 services with your amazing kids at this year's Vacation Bible School. It is called Deep. It's Jonah's Journey of Obedience. And we are going to be diving deep in an underwater theme to go through the life of Jonah to learn more about obedience to God's word. It's going to be an incredible time, lots of fun for kids of all ages, 3 years old through fourth grade. We're going to have amazing lessons, exciting crafts, fun games, delicious snacks. We're going to do a boys versus girls offering contest. We're going to have theme nights every night and tons of prizes, just lots of fun. Vacation Bible School is going to take place June 8th through the 11th. That's Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday evening at 6 p.m., and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 p.m. each night. You guys, don't come alone. Bring a friend. Our kids church team has been working real hard. We're totally excited to spend these 5 services with you, having fun, going deep, and maybe even taking a spin in our scuba sub, as long as I can find out how to get into this thing. I'll see you guys soon.
We are in week 4 of our series, The 6 Basic Doctrines, and we could not be more excited to dive into another aspect of these core foundational beliefs that shape who we are as followers of Jesus. These 6 basic doctrines help to build a strong and lasting faith. So grab those invite cards on the pews next to you and invite someone to join you for church. These invite cards could change someone's life.
And as always, for any more information on anything we just talked about, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and our team there will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts to hear what the Lord wants to speak to us through the series, 6 Basic Doctrines.
Draw the line. All right, I'm getting ready.
He loves you. He is not mad at you. He's profoundly, deeply in love with you. No matter what you've done or where you've been or what has happened to you, Jesus Christ loves you.
Church, we've got to get the hope of the glory of God back inside of us. If we stop hoping, we've stopped living.
Whatever God has delivered you from, it's a lesson that you now learn that you can come alongside somebody else that went through the same hell that you're going through, and you can give them the hope and the encouragement that there's a better day, there's another promise, you're coming out the other side.
Week of Pentecost. Hard to believe that's next week already. Wow, time is flying. I think we've had a real spring, though, this year, finally. All right? 40s at night. Oh, hallelujah. But this week is going to change, they say, up in the 80s and things like that. So here we go. All right. Well, it's good to be here this morning. And before I start, today is the last Sunday that you can sign up for small groups. They start this coming Wednesday. So obviously people find great freedom in small groups. So we'd love to see more people be set free in these small groups. So make sure that you get out there and you see what's left, you know, on the group. Some have been filled, which is good because they're small groups. So they're filled already? Well, yeah, they're called small groups. So you got to get out there early if you want to get in there. So make sure you do that today. This is it on that. All right. Very good. Now, Nicole, she is not here today. As you see, Pastor Kylan went on vacation. How dare him and his wife. And so she is over there at our Urbana campus teaching over there today. So we are stuck. I mean, hallelujah, we have Pastor Phyllis here. That it's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. All right, so we are going to continue today on our six basic doctrines that we started about. These are the core beliefs in our Christian faith. They're found in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 1 and 2. And Pastor Nicole started it out a couple weeks ago with repentance of dead works. And then Pastor Tim, last Sunday, he talked about faith in God. Now, today we're going to be going over the baptisms. There's several different kind of baptisms, and we're going over them today. That will leave number 4, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and then number 6, eternal judgment. Bum, bum, bum. So that's going to be the big one. So I hope I get to teach that one. That'll be great. But anyhow, so we won't be doing that next Sunday because it's week of Pentecost. As you see, we have all of our guest speakers coming. So, man, make sure you bring some friends and neighbors and people that need Jesus, people that need set free, touched, healed, delivered. It's going to be a fantastic week, the week of Pentecost. And then, of course, the following week is Father's Day. Yay! Yay for the fathers. So since I taught on Mother's Day, Pastor Nicole's going to teach on Father's Day. So she'll be coming in, giving you a 1-2 punch to all the dads and the hizzy. So that's going to be fun. And then that is the day that most of us, we head to Africa for our crusade, which is gearing up to be a probably maybe one of the biggest crusades we've ever had over there in this district of the slum area. And so we're pumped about it. So we have 3 teams that are even going into the schools. We hope to reach 30 schools in 3 to 4 days, something we've never done before. So hoping we see tens and tens of thousands of kids touched, hear the gospel, be saved, and other things. So be praying for God, you know, be praying to God for that. For number 1, our luggage, that it doesn't get lost, because I probably have 10, 12, 13 suitcases going. So with other people taking that second suitcase that's free, you know, for the homes that we're going into and everything that we do. So we don't want to lose suitcases. Hallelujah. So pray for that. And of course, our safety and things on the crusade grounds. But we're excited about that. So in the meantime, I want to bring up something that Pastor Tim said last week. Who was here last week? And listen, okay, wow, awesome. Very good. You were here. He brought something up that I want to bring out. He showed a picture last week of somebody that was on the sky deck at the Willis Tower, which is what it's called now, or it used to be called the Sears Tower in Chicago. And he said something, and the quote is, this is his quote: "You could not pay me enough money to walk into that death trap." That's what he said, those of you here. And then he also said, he added this, quote, "I don't have any faith in the reliability of that 1.5-inch glass." So if you were here, you heard him say that. Now, he said, though, in his message that he could be persuaded to step out onto that sky deck and look down 1,353 feet to the bottom. He did say that through that 1.5-inch glass. Those of you here, you heard that. So I, today, just want to give Pastor Tim some proof that he can build his faith upon to walk out on that sky deck. And this is his proof. There is myself and Quentin
on that sky deck, not just standing there, but we are sitting on the sky deck. And again, you can see behind you how far down that is. And then Quentin went a little further than me. And of course, in this next picture, if they have the next picture, or they don't have the next picture, anyhow, he was laying down on the sky deck. It's just really cool. So there you go, Pastor Tim. So it's great to have faith in God, but this will show you that you not only just have to have faith in God, but you have to take the step of faith, hallelujah, to see what God can do on your behalf. And when you take that step of faith, you get to see something and do something that you've never done before. Praise God, hallelujah. There you go, Pastor Tim. That was for him and all of those other doubting people out here in the audience. It's great to have faith, but we got to take a step of it and do it as well. So hopefully now when he goes there, he'll be able to take that step of faith and do what we did. Hallelujah. Amen. We were preaching in Juliet, I think it was, way back then. And then I just like, well, come on, let's go to Chicago, man. I want to go see the tower. And he said, let's go, Dad. It was fun. But there you go. All right. By the way, Andrew did look that up. And that little sky deck will hold 10 tons. 10 tons. And of course, Pastor Tim said, I don't believe it. So, what? Some people, you know. Jeez. All right, let's get into baptisms this morning. The word baptism is not an English word. It is a Greek word. In the Greek, the word for baptism is called baptismos. Baptismos, which refers to the act of ritual washing or immersion. There's a root word for that, and it's called baptismo. Baptismo, another great grandchild's name, baptismo. That'd be awesome. Come on, baptismo. Let's go. Praise the Lord. That means to wash, to immerse, to submerge, or overwhelm. Baptismo. Now, we'll be going over three baptisms just in one scripture verse, and that's found in Matthew, the third chapter. You can go there, and we're going to start in verse 11. Matthew 3:11. John is talking, and he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John baptizes with water under repentance, but Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So he tells us about three baptisms that are happening right there in one paragraph. So Matthew 3:1-6, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Go down to verse 4. It says, now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. I almost had Andrew give me a picture of what we think he looks like, and that would be Sasquatch, but I didn't want to be, you know, didn't want to go crazy on people. What? That's so bad. But anyhow, he probably looked a little bit like that, you know, and smelled a little bit like that, I guess, as well. So again, we're talking about John's baptism. They called him John the Baptist, not because he was a Baptist. Sorry for all the Baptists thinking, hey, no, he was called John the Baptist because that's what he did. He baptized people. And you know what? We're going to find out here just how many people he did baptize before Jesus came. So it said John's baptism was part, of course, the old covenant as well. Not the new covenant, the old covenant. He preached baptism unto repentance in anticipation of the Messiah, of Jesus' coming. It was prophesied again in the Old Testament. Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I send my messenger, and that is John, and he will prepare the way for me. And again, we just saw what Isaiah 43 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, Matthew 3:5, it says this, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. So he was of old covenant, in anticipation of the Messiah, baptizing them. And listen, did you see Judea Jordan, all the regions came all the way out to him wherever he was and repented of their sins and were baptized. That's why he's called John the Baptist. Thousands and maybe tens of thousands of people were baptized by him. Now, how in the world did they all hear about that? Andrew and I were talking about that before service. Oh, they didn't Facebook and say, go out and see John today. Wasn't there. I mean, man, they all heard and they all came. That anointing must have been on him like crazy. And of course, that's what he did. And they did that. So John preached repentance and thousands and ten thousands came out. That baptism is done away with today. Amen? Why? Because Jesus came on the scene and now we are under the new covenant. The new covenant. If you've repented, you're born again. We're under Jesus's baptism now, not John's. Are you following me? Jesus's baptism involves the new birth and proclamation of the Messiah. John's baptism was of the old covenant in anticipation of the Messiah. You get the difference. You see what we're going here. Jesus's baptism is a public announcement of great importance. That's what a proclamation means. That we have died to our old man, to sin, and we are now living in the new life of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus' baptism. It is a symbolic of a surrendered life to Jesus. That's what Jesus' baptism is. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Your life and my life are new in Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Somebody can get excited about that today besides five of you. Amen. So after Jesus rose from the dead, here's what he said personally in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19 and 20. Jesus himself says, now in this new covenant, somebody say new covenant. A couple of you are awake. Go therefore and make disciples. In other words, witness to people. Talk about Jesus. And when they believe and confess their sins and say, hallelujah, forgive me, Jesus, they're saved. They're born again. When that happens, when they are now Christians, the Bible says, or Jesus says, then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, that means help them to grow in their new relationship with Christ, to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. This is what we do today. It is the baptism that identifies the finished work of Jesus. It's what we do. It is the external act of what happened inside of us when we repented of our sins, and it happens after salvation. After salvation, we go under the water, fully submerged, overwhelmed with water, as the word baptismo says. My past stays under the water, my sins stay under the water symbolically, and I come out of the water a new creation, a new person in Jesus. And we get super excited and stoked over every time somebody gets baptized. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. It does not wash away sin. Does not wash away sin. Only repentance does. Remember, even in John's baptism, the old covenant, people would come, confess their sins. And then he would baptize them, thousands upon thousands of people. So baptism does not wash away sin. And I'm making this very clear and very, I guess, over the top, because there are lots of things out there, lots of people out there teaching some really weird stuff, even when it comes to baptism. It's just pure ignorance. One spectrum of teaching is that it's not important at all. You don't have to be baptized. As long as you're saved, everything's great. Okay, to a point, that makes sense. Yes, but then there's others on the other spectrum that says, unless you're baptized, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. What? What is this? Listen, it's all false. It's poopy hooey dooey is all it is. That's the Christian version, by the way. Okay? As a matter of fact, I also found something that I thought very interesting in a child's book. Would you please show that picture that I found? So it was a book, and I'm not going to tell you what the book was, but it says, this is Jesus's quote, "I have come to the river today to wash my sins away," said Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful quote? It's well, there's something wrong with that quote. What's wrong with the quote? Jesus was what? He was? Well, that book says he wasn't. And your children, if they're reading that book, they'll never know that. Is this what the devil wants? Again, it's people like this, the hooey-dooey stuff, that just gets a seed into our minds, into a child's mind. And they read this and they think, well, Jesus had sin in his life too. He came to the river also. Not true. Not true at all. So I burnt that book, by the way. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's crazy. Matthew 3, we're going to go there and look at verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him." Just what the book said, all right? But Jesus, remember, was alone at this time. He had not gotten the disciples yet. He had not really started his ministry yet. So he came alone to be baptized. Just what that little book says, with one major error, of course. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." For us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Jesus did not need to be baptized for repentance. As you all just said, he had no sin in him. None. He identified with us as the one who would be our sin bearer. Praise God. That's what he was there for. And also, Jesus being baptized by John showed that John's baptism, his ministry, was legit. Hallelujah. Absolutely legit. So it's not a requirement to be baptized, but Jesus said to do it after salvation. Once they are disciples, then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, it's a sign to our friends. It's a sign to our family. It's a sign to the world that we are followers of Jesus, that we're on his side. We're on God's team now, and it's an act of obedience unto God. And I think that's more important than anything. It's an act of obedience. We need to do it because Jesus said to do it. Are you with me? All right. So I ask you guys today, if any of you have given your life to Christ, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but you never did the second part of what Jesus asked you to do, and that's be baptized, get baptized. Be obedient. Do what he said to do. And obviously we baptize here all the time on request, or we have certain dates. But if that's you and you know right now, hey, you know what? I need to do that. Then get out there at that welcome center and sign up after church today. Don't wait. And we will joyfully, hallelujah, joyfully baptize you. Amen? It's part of being a Christian. It's part of your walk with Christ. And it has to do with simple obedience. So go do it. Get it done. Sign up out there. And if we have 20 of you, man, hallelujah, we'll just dunk and run. Dunk and run. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've seen a couple videos that children jump in that thing. Wow. It's fun. I love it. And sometimes they do it themselves. They're tired of their preacher talking. He just baptizes himself. We show that back in kids' church before we do baptism. It's super fun. All right. So let's leave Matthew for a minute. And we're going to go back there. But turn to John, the 14th chapter. We're going to talk about the second baptism, which actually happens first in our relationship with Christ. And that's found in John 14, verse 16. It says, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." So he dwells with the believer. We see that because it says the world cannot see him. So you must be saved for the Holy Spirit to abide with us. That's what it said right there. The world cannot receive him, but believers can. Those that give their life to Jesus can. The Spirit of truth dwells with us. He is abiding with us. And when Jesus said that he will be in you, that is future tense. That's something that's going to happen a little bit later. Now go to Galatians, the third chapter, and look at verse 27. We're going to see what has happened to us now when we got saved. It said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew now nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So when did this happen? When were we baptized into Christ? At salvation. That's when we were baptized into Christ. When we confessed our sins, immediately we were baptized into Christ. Go to Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 3 and 4. Romans, the sixth chapter, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," or into Christ Jesus, "were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Hallelujah. Baptism in Christ means we are submerged into Christ. That means we are wrapped in his righteousness at salvation. Hallelujah. Completely submerged in him. Woo, praise God for that. Amen. I know I'm happy for that. Praise the Lord. We walk in the newness of life now. When God sees us, hallelujah, thank God he sees his son. And when the devil sees us, thank God he sees the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. We're wrapped, we're surrounded in Christ. It happened at salvation, baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. It's powerful. When we are water baptized in Jesus' baptism, we have already been baptized into Christ. Baptism into Christ happened at salvation. Bam, surrounded in him. He's with us now. He's abiding with us. The Holy Spirit is. Praise the Lord. You get that? All right. Right. Remember, Jesus said, baptize them then in the name of Jesus. So we're baptized into Christ at salvation, baptized into Christ. And of course, when it comes to water baptism, we're baptized in the name of Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. You guys see the difference? Am I going too fast? I'm going too fast because there's only so much time and there's a lot to talk about. I want to try to get through it a little bit here. So baptism into Christ at salvation. The Holy Spirit comes, abides with us. All right? Baptism in water. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. All right, okay, we're good. Salvation equals being baptized into Christ. Water baptism is being baptized in the name of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is with us. He guides us. He draws us to holiness. He convicts us. He helps us. He leads us. He shows us things to come. And thank God he gives us revelation of God's word every time we open it up. And whatever we need, whatever we ask for, he says he'll help us and do it. We want wisdom. We want knowledge. We want understanding. The Holy Spirit will help us and give us that. Praise God for that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That happened at salvation when we were baptized into Christ. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, I'm going to show you an example here because it happened to the disciples as well after Jesus, of course, rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, new covenant started. John's baptism, gone. Jesus' baptism now starts up. So go to John, the 20th chapter and verse 19. 20th chapter and verse 19. No, I don't drink coffee. Never have, never will. I drank a quarter cup of water this morning. It's just who I am. Hallelujah. Okay. John 20. What would happen if I did drink coffee? Woo! All right. All right. It's Jesus. Oh, okay. Are you there? All right. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, were the disciples who were assembled, those chickens, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. In other words, they believed. It is Jesus. He is alive. He is well. And when they saw and they believed and were happy that it was the Lord, Jesus did something else. He said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Right then and there, they were saved under the new covenant and they were baptized into Christ. Hallelujah. Right when Jesus breathed on them. Man, that had to be an experience. Hallelujah. We do it by faith. He was right there doing it with them. Praise God. That must have been an amazing thing to see. And in Acts chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 4. And I think we're going to go ahead and go to verse 5 too. I know it's not on my notes, so you'll just go down. But in verse 4, it says, you got it on the screen? Okay, good. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Go to verse 5, if you got it. Acts 1, 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Well, hold on for a minute. Somebody call Azteca and tell them to hold the chicken enchiladas with rice and beans. I thought that they were just baptized when Jesus breathed on them, when they were saved. And then now they were baptized into Christ. Well, what in the world? Well, what does that mean? That is the third thing that he's talking about. That is now baptized. Some people call it filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. Of course, Acts 1:8, if you want to go there, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So it's not happened yet. Jesus said, it will happen a few days from now. You've been baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit is with you. He's abiding with you. But now, something else is going to happen. You're going to receive something different. You're going to receive the baptism or the infilling now, a few days from now. That's different. You understand? You following me? Okay, praise the Lord. All right. Remember, Matthew 3:11, John said that not only you will be saved, but also you will be baptized and with fire. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John spoke this, and now this happening. Acts 2:4 says, when the divided tongues sat upon each of them, so the tongues sat upon them, the Holy Spirit sat upon them, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. He came upon them, and then he filled them. That's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So John's baptism, it's gone. We're in Jesus' baptism when we get baptized. We're baptized into Christ when we are saved. Then after we're saved, we're disciples. Jesus says, now we baptize in Jesus' baptism, fully immersed underwater. Now there's other gifts that I want to give you. One of the gifts, you're going to get it here in a few days. It's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's also going to come. All right. We're here. We're there. Now, here's something I want to point out. There are some denominations and a group that call themselves the cessationists. Say that 10 times real fast. They say that the gifts, especially the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healings, and of course even prophecy, ended after the apostolic age or after the apostles died. The apostolic age is in Christianity refers to the period after the death of Jesus. marked by the activities, teachings, and writings of the apostles. This era, roughly from 30 AD to, I think, around 100 AD, is considered the foundation of the Christian church. It's when it started, as the apostles spread Jesus' message and established early Christian communities. Remember, it happened when Jesus prayed and when he preached and 3,000 people came to Christ. Bam, it started right there. But the scriptures give us no indication that this, the distribution, I guess you should say, of gifts by the Holy Spirit was ever stopped after the apostolic age. No scripture. It's not in there. It's not. Now, these people will try to distort scripture and tell you that it is and that it happened, but it absolutely has not. And I guess, you know, yeah, they can twist all the scriptures around that they want. And these cessationists, I kind of see them as Sadducees and Pharisees. It's like they don't want to see people healed, miracles, God talk to people. I don't know why they wouldn't want it. I mean, I would want that for people, but they're not like that, not at all. And of course, there's several arguments. And one is that there's no healing mentioned after the book of Acts. Well, okay, but also if you look in the four Gospels, love is mentioned all the time. But if you look in the book of Acts, love is never mentioned once in the book of Acts. It's talking about power in the book of Acts. So apparently, if love is not mentioned in the book of Acts, then love's out too. I hate all you guys then. Forget love. Just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means they were focused on other things. Hello? I don't say I love my wife every day. And because, why not? Did you just say why not? But just because I don't tell her I love her every day, she don't go, you don't love me anymore. No. I'm focused on other things today, other things that I'm doing for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it's false doo-doo. Again, false doo-doo. Now, I say this is false because of two things. Number one, we can go into scripture, and man, we'd have a couple days, and we can debate, and we can show where they twist the scriptures and things like that. But the biggest key to their falsehood in what they say is because of our testimony. I was 13 years old. I was in summer camp, and we were in service that night. And we were all praising the Lord. And he had given an invitation. I really didn't hear him. You know, I was just busy, 13 years old, you know. And he had come up to me and asked me, hey, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like, yeah, sure. I didn't really know what it was even, you know. I mean, I hear it my whole life, Pentecostal church. I didn't know. I said, sure. So I came out in the aisle. I just raised my hands. Next thing you know, church is over. It's over. Lights are out. And I woke up, and the next time I prayed, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, that wasn't me. I got fine and dandies in school, even in English. I don't even know what a preposition is, let alone a noun. And God filled me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I have my heavenly language. Bam, instantly, it happened. All my kids, all my family are filled with the Holy Spirit. I did ask Quentin the other day, hey, you are filled, right? He said, yeah, Dad. Okay, just making sure. You know? So our testimony is, again, proof that this is lies, falsehood. People are getting filled with the Holy Spirit around the world. Millions upon millions of people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, again, falsehood, lies. I guess the Holy Spirit didn't get their memo that they ain't supposed to be doing that no more. The Holy Spirit could care less what they say. Amen? Hallelujah. All of the gifts of the Spirit are still available today. And the proof, of course, is that it's still happening around the world. Knowledge is still happening around the world. We're still knowledgeable. Knowledge is supposed to cease, all right, in those days. Yeah, this stuff will cease. But when the perfect one comes, well, who's the perfect one? Jesus. Yeah, well, they say something completely different. But it doesn't matter what they say. We see it, we live it, we hear it, and God is still doing it and moving in it. And people are still being filled. And he wants you and I to live a powerful life filled with the Holy Spirit. so we can be effective witnesses, even if it's just to your neighbor. Hallelujah. He wants us filled. He wants us to have power in the name of Jesus. So I mentioned earlier that you could sign up, of course, to be baptized if you haven't had baptism. But at the end of service today, we're just going to pray. And if you want to be filled, God will fill you. God will absolutely fill you if you have not been filled yet. It says here in Luke 11:13, and we've read this over and over growing up, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's simple. All we have to do is ask. We don't need a band up here. We don't need nobody running around. We don't need anything weird happening. No, if you want the Holy Spirit, we ask. And then he will give it to you. It's what he said right there, Luke 11:13. It'll happen. Okay. Ask and he will fill you. Accept the gift like I did, and hallelujah, you will be filled. All right, so let's quickly now, before we do this, we have about 15 minutes. Okay, let's go to the fourth baptism that I want to talk about. And this baptism doesn't get much traction as it should, and it's what John said would be the last baptism that Jesus would do in Matthew 3:11, and that's baptize us with fire. Whew, fire. Okay. Anyhow, it may not get talked about much because it sounds scary and painful. I will say it. It's like the movie when he says, Mufasa. Ooh. Yeah. All you know. Remember children's pastor 20 years, guys? Okay. All right. It's like, ooh, you say the word Mufasa. You say the word fire. It sounds scary. It sounds like, I don't want anything that Jesus is going to do that has to do with fire. But yet we do. And I'm going to show you that right here. When we really understand it, we find that it is a refining work by God that will do two things for us. It's either going to burn something out of our lives to grow us, or burn something out of our lives to make us clean. That's what the refining fire does of Jesus. Let me say it like I'd say it to your children. It's either going to make us pure or more mature. That's what it's going to do for us. Either one is going to help us, and then both of them are going to help us be more like Jesus, no matter what he does. 1 Peter 1:6-7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, thank God it's only a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see here that God allows some trials in our lives. We know it. Yes, we know it, of course. Who has never had a trial in here? Come and lay hands on me first. Praise God. But remember, even though we have trials, God never tempts us. He never tempts us. It says right here, James 1:13. Say, let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. Through those trials, God is refining us, purifying us, and he may even expose some things in us. I can hear a pin drop. Isaiah, the 48th chapter, verse 10. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So God is refining us or purifying us, removing impurities in us. I do believe that's called the dross. I do believe the impurities, they just take it off the top when they're refining silver. The furnace of affliction refers to the trials, the struggles, and the hardships that God allows us to experience. But it said not like silver, all right? God's refining process is not like the complete destruction of silver, but rather a selective process that strengthens and purifies you and me. I want to be purified. Hallelujah. I want to be strengthened. The refining in us is to make us more like Jesus. Hallelujah. It is the process of drawing us closer to God, to lean on and focus upon God more and more, especially when we want to focus on ourselves. We think we've got it all figured out. Yeah, no. That's when, I think probably when we're prideful and arrogant, God says, it's time for refining. Yeah, I'm bringing the fire. It's time for refining. There was an 81-year-old lady, and I thought this was a pretty cool testimony, and there's been other testimonies like this. She had a horse. She's had her horse for many, many years, loved her horse to death. She was riding on her horse one day, and her horse threw her off. She's 81 years old. You can imagine. Yikes. Thrown off by your horse. Can you imagine that, Pastor Phyllis?
No, I can't.
Okay. I know you're not 81 yet. I know. I get it. I didn't mean that you were. Okay. So anyhow, got thrown off her horse. Well, she went to the hospital. They found out she had no broken bones, which is fantastic. But they found a lesion on her, not kidney, but what's the other one?
Liver.
They had found a lesion on her liver and found out she had third stage cancer as well. So the testimony goes on that they found those things and they fixed those things and she's been healed and she has no more cancer. They got it all and everything. It was fantastic. But if she hadn't gone through the trial, if she hadn't gone knocked off her horse, they'd have never found those things. And she would have probably been dead years earlier. So in the trial of affliction, God's doing something in our lives. There's a reason for it. And yeah, it's a process. I get it. But that's the way it is. And we have to do it. The point is God can use what's happening to better our lives by, of course, the refining fire. Amen. Amen. One last scripture is found in Malachi 3:3. It says, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. I don't like that word sit. He will sit there. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. There's another well-known story, it's out there, of a lady who wanted to find out what happened with silver. So she went to a silversmith, of course, to understand the process of refining silver. She said the silversmith holds a piece of silver over the fire and lets it heat up, of course. But he holds the piece of silver right in the middle of the fire where it's the hottest, where it's absolutely hottest, so it'll burn the impurities away. He had to sit there and watch the silver to be refined. Why? Because he had to make sure that he only left the silver there for a certain amount of time or the silver would be ruined. So he had to watch it at all times so it wouldn't be damaged or ruined. And the lady asked, so how do you know then when the silver has been refined to where it's perfect? And he said, well, that's easy, ma'am. It's when I can see my image in the silver.
Wow.
How long is God going to have to sit on us until we don't look at ourselves, but we look at him? Whew. We're not dependent on us, but we're dependent on him. Woo! My goodness. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Oh, praise the Lord. So he will refine whatever needs refined in our lives. He's going to refine you in your personal life. Listen, he'll refine your marriages. And I'm sure, and he probably has even refined the church as a whole from time to time. We've heard it. Man, the washing machine is going. You know, he's refining. He's doing what he needs to do. He's cleaning house. He's taking the dross up, throwing it away, doing what he needs to do, baptized in fire. Man, it sounds scary, but it's what we need. To stay pure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, out of the four baptisms that we talked about way too fast, we should have given it a lot more time. Two happen by God, and two happen by us. Baptism into Christ and baptism of fire we have no control over. When we get saved, bam, the Holy Spirit comes. We're baptized into Jesus. He's with us. He's helping us. He's growing us. He's watching over us. He's given us wisdom and knowledge, baptized into Christ. And then, of course, the baptism of fire. God sees something maybe he don't like. It's time. Get the heat out. Those we have no control over. But when it comes to, obviously, receiving Jesus, we have control over that. We don't have to receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then, of course, we won't be baptized into Christ. Baptism in water is our choice. And, of course, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the infilling, is a choice. Two, we have choices. Two, we don't. I'm hoping that everybody here makes the choice to be baptized in water and to be filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit today. It's your choice. So the first thing I ask is being baptized into Christ. If you are here today, you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, then the time is now. I want to be baptized and I want to be part of the family of God. I want to not only go to heaven, but I want to have a future here, a relationship with Jesus where he helps me. The Holy Spirit helps me live and move, gives me wisdom and knowledge in certain situations. Just a full relationship with Christ. You can have that at a simple ask. Jesus has done all the hard work for us. All we have to do is say, yes, I receive. If that's you here today, and you've not done that and say, yep, I want Jesus. Listen, the Holy Spirit is already drawing you. He's already convicting you, not condemning you, convicting you. That's what he does. He convicts. Almost like that fire. It's like, do it. Let me have you. Just say yes and watch what I will do. Watch what I will change. You don't have to live like this tomorrow. Yeah, problems will come. It happens. Life still happens. But there he says he will be with us always and never leave us nor forsake us. I'd rather have him through a problem than be through a problem by myself. In the dark with no peace, no hope. Not him talking to me. Whew, no way. If that's you, just raise your hand and we're going to pray. Anybody in the house? Anybody at all? Yes, Pastor Randy, that's me. I want Jesus. Anybody, anybody. Pastor Tim told you last week, bring people that need Jesus. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's right with God. Going once, twice. It's too late. No, I'm joking. It's never too late. Never too late, ever. Unless you're dead, then it's too late. Okay. Second thing today, if you want that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you want to be baptized. Remember, Jesus commanded them to wait. To wait. Jesus himself was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit before he even started his ministry. He came out full of the Holy Spirit. And right away, temptation came. That devil, he hates you. He's scared of you, and that's a good thing. And it's good to have power over him as well. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit and you haven't done that, you haven't been filled with your heavenly language, the evidence of speaking in tongues, then I'm not going to have you raise your hands. It's between you and him. But we're going to pray, and I want you to ask. And then we're going to wait for a couple minutes. We're going to praise the Lord. And we're going to thank him as he fills you right then and there. And you're going to be filled. And of course, that heavenly language is going to come. And you're just going to begin to speak with other tongues. The Bible says that it is a sign to the world. It's a sign to the world. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're praying directly to God. Hallelujah for that. When you don't know what to pray, there's been many times I didn't know how to keep praying. Sometimes for some of you, you know, I don't know what to do, man, back in the hospital again, and this is happening. This, I've prayed on just, and my mind is focused on you and what you're going through. It goes directly to God and let God deal with it. It's all I can do. It's all we can do. Just be interceding for you. He knows what to pray. Sometimes he prays through us, is what the Bible says. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And we have power. Hallelujah. Power. We're going to need power when we get to Africa here in a couple weeks. You know that, Tony? We're going to need some power, baby. There's going to be devils out there. You know, if they're there, I hate the poor devil. I like what T.L. Osborne says. That poor devil. He usually runs when I show up. He should run before we get there. Amen. Hallelujah. But if he's there, he's in trouble. So we're going to pray right now. And if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just ask as we're praying and just open your hearts up and you will receive it in Jesus' name. And if you feel something come up from inside and bubble outside of you, just start. You don't have to do it loud, you know, just right there. Just start speaking it by faith and you'll be filled. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Everybody stand up. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. Oh, we thank you for the doctrine of baptisms. I thank you that I have been baptized into Christ as I was saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with me, for guiding me and leading me. I thank you for Jesus' baptism. Hallelujah. Showing the world that I am on your side, that all my sins were washed away. I'm cleansed. Thank you for that. For your baptism. And God, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord God, when I said yes at 13, bam, you filled me, Lord. You gave me power. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And God, yes, thank you for the baptism of fire. And Lord, if it gets me closer to you, if it helps me be more like you, then yes, then bring that baptism of fire on my life in Jesus' name. Now, God, for those that are out there today and they want to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they're asking you right now, they're saying, fill me in Jesus' name. And God, as they ask, you said that us being evil give our kids good things, that if we ask for the Holy Spirit, that you wouldn't give us something else, but you'll give us that gift. You'll give us the Holy Spirit. Right now, in the name of Jesus, as they ask, Lord God, I thank you that they receive that Holy Spirit in Jesus' name right now. Fill them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill them as you did in the upper room right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that they're filled, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, it's done, Lord God. And I thank you by faith, they've received it, God. And Father, by faith, they're opening their mouth, Lord God, and you have filled them supernaturally, giving them power, Lord God, great power in Jesus' name, God. Hallelujah. Another heavenly language, Lord God. Another way to pray, Lord God, in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you for filling them, Lord God. Another advantage, Lord God. Another tool in the tool belt, God, of Christianity, in Jesus' name. Thank you for filling them right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Quietly, Father, or out loud, I don't care. In Jesus' name, just begin, hallelujah, to speak what comes out, Father, from the inside of you in Jesus' name. It's going to sound crazy. It's okay. It's God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Well, we just praise you. And the rest of you that are filled, just begin to praise him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for filling those others in the house today. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you, Father, for your promises, Lord God. We thank you for filling them today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Father, for the revelation of the baptisms in our life in Jesus' name, God. The basic doctrines, the foundations of our faith in Jesus' name. Thank you for equipping the saints, Lord God, to go out, hallelujah, and preach and reach the gospel for you. Hallelujah, Father, that many will be saved in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for that today. We thank you for that today. We give you praise for that today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. And if you're beginning, it's just a beginning. Just go home every day, whatever you're doing, and worship whatever, and just begin to continue that. And like faith, it grows. It will grow like your faith grows. Things will grow and it will progress. Hallelujah. And study. Get in that Bible of yours and study what God will do through the Holy Spirit, what speaking in tongues will help you do, what it edify, what it will do. And begin to just study that and understand it and use it. And use it. Why would you want to use a screwdriver when you can have a power drill? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, let me bless you today as we leave. Father, thank you for the congregation. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the church. Thank you for what you've done here today, for the revelation, Lord God, that people have got today, some maybe even greater understanding of the baptisms, God, the foundation of baptisms today. Thank you for filling those today as well. And God, we thank you that you continue to convict people that need you as well, Lord God. We thank you that you're bringing those that are lost into this house, God, from the north, south, east, and west, Lord God. Those that have not been churched, those that are new, those that need hope, Lord God, those that need freedom, Lord Jesus, those that want to make a difference, you're bringing them, God, to this house, to this family, where they can grow in you, Lord God, mature in you in Jesus' name. And God, I just thank you for that refining fire in us that purifies us. Hallelujah. Bless them as they go this week. I thank you everywhere they put their foot, they're blessed. As they open their mouth, Lord God, they're blessed. As they walk, people see you in them. Everywhere they go, everything they do, and everything they say. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for promotions. We thank you for answered prayers this week. We thank you for people being healed, Lord God, as they give, Lord, their prayer requests to us. We thank you, Father, for testimonies. Thank you for everything you're doing. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed and we'll see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m. God bless. Thank you, Jesus.